Blog Talk Radio.
Murder me out of here. Look out for that chair. Who's down his hat?
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this thy word, so that we can grow in faith, grow in spirit, Father, and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Last couple of days, we finished up with two different books. We finished up with John, the Gospel of John, which also brought us through all of the four Gospels. And then we have finished up with the book of Romans. Now let's go here to verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "My brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, this testimony of God here, this is not Paul actually really testifying and giving testimony of God, but God's testimony of himself. And that is namely the cross. He goes on letting us know that he determined and decided that the implication is that Paul gave careful thought to his approach and resolved to lay aside the ornaments of speech and the physiological skill to announce Jesus Christ in him crucified. Paul's message, not method, reflected divine wisdom. You see, everything that you and I needs to come through the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing us things that are of a divine nature. And only that comes from God. Now, as we've talked before many, many times, everything that we receive or everything we do, if it goes to the Lord God, it has to go through Jesus. And things that he sends to you and I comes back to us through Jesus by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But everything is done in his name. That's why we're told in the Word of God how to pray. And how does his word tell us to pray? To pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You see, most don't know how actually to even reach him. And they want to continue to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the way we are to pray. Now, Jesus paid the price for you and I, and we need to praise him, give him praise, give him thanks for the things he has done for us and the things that is coming through him to us even through to this day. Now, verse 3, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, Paul's mention of the Spirit here is significant. And the Corinthians thought they knew a great deal about the Holy Spirit, but more than most churches in apostolic times, and perhaps they had experienced various manifestations of the Spirit and its power. You know, these are things that we really need to think about. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Almighty God. No, we don't need our wisdom today and our thoughts and things coming from man. Only those that are called and sent by God. We have too many out there today that are making up their own services and teaching things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now, 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are, there's that word again. The church and people don't like. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, they come to know. That word perfect. What does the word perfect really mean? You see, it refers to the morally and spiritually mature. And Paul cannot resist the use of ire here in verse 4. He denies the use of wisdom. Now he admits to using it, but only among those capable of comprehending and appreciating those that are perfect. Think about that. You see, that means you have come to the point that you are spiritually mature. within the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a good understanding, and you have become that born-again child of the living God. Now, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, mystery refers to some work or purpose of God unrevealed until now. And in this case, where he's speaking, the reference is to the hidden wisdom which God ordained unto our glory. And the purpose of God concerning our salvation was designed by God for eternity and directed toward the everlasting glory that believers will enjoy in his presence. Think about it. How often do you really spend time in the presence of Almighty God? You know, that is really only when we are on our knees in prayer with him, spending time with him. And we all need to spend more time than what we do. And we would be probably not 100% better off, but 1,000% better off than what we are. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you've heard me say many, many times that if Satan had really have known what the Lord's death was to be for and what it meant to man and mankind, he would have never been all for it. And they wouldn't have been all them standing out there crying, crucifying. But you see, the Lord our God knows all these things. And he knows how to get everything done. We don't, but he does. That's why we need to depend on him. Now, 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That Holy Spirit that has been sent back to mankind, that is to be with each one of us, that gives us the guidance and all that we need, he's the one that searches all things and brings what you and I need to us so that we can do the things that God will call upon each one of us to do. And we all work differently. And we all don't carry all of the same gifts. We all carry gifts, but they differ according to what God wants you and I to do. Think about that. Now, 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, that's why you and I, we need to depend on the Spirit of Almighty God. But there's things that we must do in order to have that Spirit of God. In fact, we have to be born again. Now, we've got to leave this old sin nature. It's got to go. It and the Holy Spirit will not live in the same place. They are enemy against each other. Well, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, he's getting deep here. Paul is. Here in Corinthians. Now here's 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and then comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the terms comparing occurs only here and in 2 Corinthians 10:12, where the meaning is clearly compare. However, in classical Greek, the term was always used in a sense of to compound or to interpret. And probably the most satisfactory interpretation is combining spiritual things with spiritual words. After speaking of spiritual, Paul now speaks of the forms in which they are conveyed. Spiritual truth is conveyed in language that is given by God's Spirit. That's why you hear me tell you that for you to get the right message and the right things from the Word of God, it has to be brought to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, you and I, on our own, we cannot understand spiritual things. Takes that infilling of the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you and I. Now, 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, we can't be judging. And especially to be judging the things really of God. Because that's not what you and I are for. And 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we know that the mind of Christ himself, all the time he was here on this earth, his mind was placed on the Father and with the Father. The things he taught, the things he spoke, came from the Father to him. And you and I are to speak the things that has come from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to you and I. And as long as we do that, we'll always be in the truth of God's word. But it's when we get away from it. And that's something we don't never want to do. We don't want to get away from it. We want to always be with the word of Almighty God. Now, we have finished with chapter 2. We're getting ready to go into chapter 3. It's 23 verses long. But I think we got time to get through it. Now, verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. In other words, they had not grown spiritual enough to receive the strong things of Almighty God and the strong parts of His Word. They were still considered as babes. We have a lot of them growing up today. In fact, we have more babes in Christ than we have those that are mature enough to receive meat instead of milk. The strong things of Almighty God. That's why we're not seeing in our churches the work of the Holy Spirit, because we don't have them in our churches that are walking strong enough spiritually to use that spirit. They're too weak. They have too much doubt and weakness. Now, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Because you see, the thing about it is, they have caused division. And look at the divisions that we have today in our church world. And if we would all come together in one mind and one accord, all standing on the Word of God, and all becoming a part of His church, our nation would be in a lot different shape than it's in because of all the evil we have allowed to be seated in our government that is bringing so much evil upon our land today. And they are even using a lot of our courts to do it. We have evil all around us now that we used to not have. And God had blessed this country of ours greatly. But He has sure took His hand off of it now. Just like He did Israel. You know, a lot of people says, well, he has forsaken Israel. No, He hasn't. He took His hand off of them so they would see that they need something they don't have and would grow to understand that the one they crucified was really the one they needed. And we know by God's word, because we're told in his word, that there will be a time that all Israel will be saved. Let's pray for the same thing to happen to our land. And if we would all come together in one mind and one accord as the children of Almighty God and remove those out of office that are evil and replace them with ones that believe in the Lord our God and the Lord Jesus Christ and love them and love the word and love the church and love this country, we could get this country back to where it belonged. But we are living in a day and time to where time is growing short. And if something's not done quickly, we are going to lose our land. And we will lose, actually, of being able to sit and worship freely like we are now. We will have to go more or less underground. Because if we don't, we'll find that ourselves is going to be jailed and killed. And they're doing it in a lot of countries already. And right now, those pastors we have out there that are teaching the truth, they are facing a lot of criticism and a lot of things are going on against them right today. Now, we ended up with verse 4 there where he was talking about them, talking about belonging to different ones. But you see, if you are truly a child of God, born again, you belong to his church. You don't follow and worship no man. No.
Or woman.
Well, especially woman. In fact, I ain't sitting under no woman. And I let them know that. Because we are to speak boldly. And that is part of God's word. He said no. He said, I did not suffer a woman to teach nor use authority over a man. Look that word suffer up. See what it says. What it means. It means to allow or permit. So he's saying, I do not allow or permit them to have authority over a man. And here in Corinthians, we're going to be getting to that very shortly. So I'm not going there right now. He speaks even stronger, the woman, than he does there in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter. And that's where that is that I was telling you about. Now, verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollo? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. They are ministers to bring the word to you. That was their job. And they are the ones that's giving you and I this word right now. Paul is the one that recorded this. Corinthians. This is one of his letters. 6. I have planted, a bottle of water. But God gave the increase. You see, Paul is saying he planted. In other words, he has spoken. And Apollos watered. He's carrying on with Paul's message. But God is the one that gives the increase. My work is to get the word to you. Share his word with you. I can't give you and make you God's child. I can help by giving you the word. But it takes the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to bring you to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and get you there to repent. I can't do it. He does. Now, 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth. You see, then, we're nothing. Really, we're children of God. And we can be saved and all, be able to make heaven our home. But as far as being anything, no, we're only what God wants us to be. And it takes God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You've got to be walking in the plan that God has for you. Not trying to be in somebody else's plan, doing what somebody else is doing, but doing whatever it is that God is calling on you to do. And you'll be rewarded accordingly. 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, we're laborers together with God. We're God's fellow workers. And in the key of this chapter, this in effect restates the phrase in verse 8, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You see, you and I, we have to become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first one we've got to become number one with. And then we become number one with the Spirit. Also, we walk in him and he lives in us. We walk in Jesus and Jesus lives in us. Most people cannot see this nor understand it because really they don't want to. They don't want to believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is there with them all the time. And they can't do anything without God knowing. They think they can hide from him, but they can't. No. 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another has buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Think about that. Now, we have the foundation of the church and of the gospel here in our hand. And Paul wrote a whole lot of, in fact, he wrote most of the New Testament. Now, how do we build on that? We have to build the same way he built, or we in trouble. Now, 11. There are other foundations can no man lay than that is laying, which is Jesus Christ. You see, he is the cornerstone of the church. Jesus is. Without that cornerstone, that church cannot stand. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And this fire he's talking about is the fire of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit is going to try everything that we do to see and to guide and to keep those things according to the ways and the will of the Father. Now, Fourteen, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But we don't want to be doing work that is going to burn up. We want our work to be satisfying unto the Lord our God and good in his eyes, and when, because we're doing what he wants us to do. We're not doing things that man wants or even that we want, but it's what he wants. As long as we are doing what he wants, it's not going to burn up, and we will get and receive our rewards for that. 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I know there's a lot of you that have been hearing me say that the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you didn't want to believe it, but here it is in God's Word, written right here. 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You see, that's when you know you're right in the sight of Almighty God, and that you are on your way of making heaven your home when you step out of this life and into eternity. 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You are. If you are a child born again of God, you are his temple, where he lives and works, because he works through you. Now, 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You see, we don't use our wisdom, as we call it. We have to be using the wisdom of Almighty God in our work, especially in our teaching. Now, 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You see, we don't want to be wise in the things of this world out here, because we're not to mess with this world. And we're not to be wanting the things of this world out here. Only the things we need in order to make it through the time that God is giving us to live here. And all the days that we are to be here are numbered. We don't know how long God aims for you and I to be here. But he does. He knows exactly already. Now, 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. They are vain. 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. The one who belongs to Christ is a child of God, and his Father will do anything for him. But you know, we talk about the absurdity of division over allegiance to any of these. The men is that God gave them all to the Corinthians. Now, 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, things to come, all are yours. If you can accept them as the word and the legions of Almighty God, and stand with them in believing in the truth of Almighty God in his word. 23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. We know him as the Son of Almighty God. And we have now come to the end to 3. So we are going to close here at this time. And hopefully the next time we'll be going into 4. It's not a real long chapter either, so we're going through. We're getting through Corinthians here at a pretty good pace. But we haven't gotten into a lot of the controversy yet, which is coming. But you see, it's in this book where we're going to find out more about our ladies, about marriage, about walking in and with the Spirit, about speaking in tongues, is all in this book that we're going to be dealing with. And that brings up a lot of controversy in the world. Not between God's people, but between us and those of the world out there. They just don't want to hear it at all. And a lot of our weak churches do not want to hear the truth of God's word. And you say, now, Pastor, you're making some pretty broad statements there. No. You see, these are things I know. We're all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak with tongues. That's God's word. That's not mine. That's his word. You will do it. Now, we know that God does not call women to be pastors of the church. But two-thirds of our churches are accepting them and listening to them. But yet, as we look around us out here, we're seeing these churches that are pastored by women are falling greatly and quickly. I have three right here in the community where I live that I can drive to any of the three in about 15 minutes or less, that before they took the lady pastors in, they were filled. Today, they're operating on five, and most have already said that they will probably have to close by the first of the year. And we have five that are already closed because of it. Think about it. You don't go against the word of God and make anything. It doesn't work. We've got churches today that are accepting that abortion is a woman's right. They're accepting it in a lot of our churches that it's a woman's right to abort that unborn child. No, it's not her right. It's murder. And it's not her right. Only God has the right to take a life. Now, then we've got these churches out here that are accepting pastors in that are living in adultery. Oh, you don't know that. Yeah, I do. I know where some of them are. And we've got these churches today that are accepting what the government is telling them about homosexuality. It's just an alternate lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with it. Yet the Bible tells you it's an abomination unto God. This is why we're in the mess we're in today, and especially the messes in our churches. And it's why a lot of people won't go to church. It's because of it. I don't know how many people have told me, hey, ain't gonna need me going down to that church. They're doing the same thing I'm doing. And I see them on Friday and Saturday night out here doing the same thing I do. Why do I want to go down there? Think about these things. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we close your word, We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for a time that we can come together to share this word with each other and our love for each other. Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. And come out from behind that Mosaic law and move under grace. Now, Father, this land of ours that's filled with this evil, help us, Father, to remove this evil from their office and to fill those offices, Father, with your children that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, love your people, and love this country, and will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day as we separate. Keep us all in health. Keep us all safe. Bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.